Hey everybody, the year 2020 is coming to a close, and in a moment, Pastor Jeremiah will share some reflection with you and me together, and we're going to find out how God has sustained all of us in this difficult 2020. And he will also give us an encouraging message as to how we may proceed in the new year 2021. So let's invite Pastor Jeremiah and find out how God has sustained us all.
Hi, everybody. I'm Pastor Jeremiah, Pastor Jay. I'm so honored to be with you here today. How's your Christmas? Well, mine was okay. Just okay. It was okay because it's been a hard season, hasn't it? And when you go through hard times, how do you get through it? How do you endure? Do you know people who try to get through hard times by being really, really positive, having a really positive, upbeat attitude? I tend to be one of those people. And lately, I've been noticing the dark side to positivity. My wife's a nurse, and it's been a really, really hard, hard season. And I've tried to be positive to her, try to lift her by being positive. It's going to be okay. Keep strong. And it's not really working so good. And I didn't understand why. And she sent me kind of two pictures. One picture is of her, or of a nurse in general, kind of drowning in water. The other picture is of a nurse with all these knives on her back. And beside that is people cheering for them. Good job. You're doing awesome. You're our hero. Yay, yay, yay. And that is what kind of captures what she feels. Even though the people cheering, they're trying to be positive, uplifting. In the end, my wife, Sarah, feels invalidated, feels actually disrespected, because they are actually minimizing her feelings, downplaying the tough situation. In the end, it's actually doing more harm than good. Because if someone has a knife in their back, you don't cheer them on. Good job. Yeah, keep going. You help them. you go to them. And this type of positivity actually has a name. It's called toxic positivity. And one person defines it like this: the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy, optimistic state across all situations. The process of toxic positivity results in the denial, minimization, and invalidation of the authentic human emotional experience. And I would argue that this kind of positivity will not help us to endure hard times. So if this is not the answer to dealing with pandemic fatigue, what is? Well, today we're going to look at the courage to endure today, how to go through hard times. And we're going to look through a book called Lamentations, because the Bible offers us one way to endure impossibly hard times, which is called lament. Lament means crying out honestly to God. And this book of Lamentations is something that the people in the Bible and the Jewish people today use to go through and deal with hard times. Every year, the Jewish people celebrate something called the Tisha B'Av. And it's a day of mourning, which remembers two really tragic events. One was in 586 BCE, the Babylonians attacked the capital city, Jerusalem, took away the land, destroyed the temple, and put most of the people into exile. And then in 70 AD, the same thing happened. And these two events were the worst days in Jewish history. We can't even really relate to that. It'd be like if Nazi Germany took over Holland and then took over the whole world. And even more for Israel, they were God's chosen people. And they thought, this could never happen to us. But it did twice. And as part of this Tisha B'Av, the Jews, they read this book of Lamentations in order to deal with the pain and the memory of the past. And I believe that Jewish peoples are able to endure hard times because God is working in this practice of lament. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the book of Lamentations and lament together. And the Book of Lamentations is actually designed after a funeral poem. And the Hebrew name for this book is actually based on the first word of Lamentations, which is how. And this word how refers to the anguish, the pain, the question someone is dealing with in the face of the death of a loved one. How? How could this happen? And as we read Lamentations, I encourage you to sense the emotions of the writer, his honest feelings. And as we read it, I'm going to say that word how. And when I say that word how, I encourage you to respond by lamenting, by saying these words, how long, O Lord? So when I say how, please join me in saying how long, O Lord? So let's go to Lamentations. We're going to look at Lamentations 3, starting in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. How long, O Lord? Verse 9. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked, like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding. He has dragged me from the path and mangled me. Verse 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and my gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. How long, O Lord? Verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. But how? How long, O Lord? Verse 28. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. How long, O Lord? Let's pray. Lord, how long? How long will we have to wait during this hard, hard time? How long will we have to feel sadness and pain? Thank you that you hear our cries with compassion and love. Thank you that you are with us. You strengthen us. You give us the courage to endure, and you will deliver us. Give us strength to wait for you, Lord. And today may these words glorify you. Holy Spirit, come. We need to hear your word today. Pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to know today. During hard times, God wants our honest cries. During times when it's completely and utterly so, so hard, God actually doesn't want a positive attitude. He doesn't want us to stiffen our upper lip or hide our pain. He wants us to cry honestly to him. Because God is healer of the brokenhearted, not a rewarder of the stoic. Think of the people that you can be completely honest with. Who are those that you can ugly cry with? Usually those you trust. Those whom you know will respond to your pain with compassion and love and not judge you. And also who will encourage and correct you in that same love. Now, do you trust God enough to do the same? believe that if you were completely honest with how you felt to God, that He would look on you not with judgment or anger, but with love and compassion. Do you believe and trust that God wants to hear how you are feeling, that He loves you, and He will be with you no matter what? And I believe this is a key to having that courage to endure, to be completely honest with God, accepting His invitation to heal and strengthen you in your pain and in your weakness. And we're going to look at just two things today about these honest cries. One is, lament helps us to grieve well for ourselves and with others. And two, lament increases our trust in God. And then we'll come back to Jesus, our hope. During hard times, God wants our honest cries. Let's look at the first point. Lament helps us grieve well for ourselves and with others. Now, there are usually three aspects to a lament. First is turn to God. Second is cry to God. And third is trusting God. The first is turn to God. Lamenting is not just venting or crying out into the void. And it's not cursing or rejecting God. But the first thing you do is turn to God. Trusting that He loves you. Trusting that He hears you with compassion. Trusting that He is the only one who can save and deliver you from whatever situation you're in. And that turning to God is an act of trust. Second is a crying out to God. Now, the writer in Lamentations, he is brutally honest with God in his lament, in his crying out. Have you heard of the Psalm 23? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In Lamentations, the writer feels like God is not a good shepherd. In verse 1, instead of being comforted by the rod of God, the writer feels like he's being punished by God's rod. In verse 2, 6, and 9, instead of making our path straight and leading us to green pastures, the writer feels like God is leading us and him into the valley of the shadow of death, on crooked paths, which are haunted by wild beasts. The writer feels like he is abandoned by God, punished by God, and he is filled with grief, anger. He is sick with pain, sick to his bones. He is overwhelmed, frustrated, and hopeless. And because of this, he is honestly crying to God out of that faith, out of that turning to God. Now, have you ever felt like this? And if so, how do you deal with it? How do you endure? Well, this season for me has been really, really hard. In addition to the virus, in addition to Sarah being a nurse, I've lost about 6 people whom I loved. They have passed away during the pandemic. And it's been really, really tough. And for the past few months, every night I've been lamenting to God. And actually in the Psalms, the book of Psalms, 40% about of the Psalms are lament Psalms. And I've been reading Psalm 6 every night and ugly crying with God, just crying and pouring out my heart to Him. And as I feel these emotions, as I surrender these emotions to God and give it to Him, I am actually feeling His strength grow inside of me. If I didn't do this regularly, I would probably just break down one day. Or I would leak. This is what someone named Peter Cesaro calls leaky Christians. For those of us who try to suppress our emotions, push it down, it's like a boiling pot of water. And the more we push down, the more it will leak out. We will get irritated easier. We'll go crazy over the little list of things. I was getting tested for COVID the other day, and it was a long lineup, and I saw a young woman, Bud, in front of the line. In between the 6 feet, she just came right in, and I was so angry. Oh, I was mad. And if I didn't continually give my emotions to God, I would have probably just burst out. Just, it poured out. But by God's grace, I didn't. I was able just to surrender and not do anything stupid. And because of this constant lamenting, I'm feeling God's strength grow in me. And as I'm surrendering my emotions to Him, I sense that He is healing my broken heart more than I ever could. Because during hard times, God wants our honest cries. And Lamentations also is supposed to be a communal lament, where we do it together. And I find the more that I suppress my pain or minimize my pain, the more I do that for others. I tend to minimize their pain, downplay it, and judge them for not having the same strength as I seemingly do. And lament helps us, as Romans 12 says, to mourn with those who mourn. It helps us to have compassion on others' pain, just like God has compassion on us in our pain. Lament helps us to grieve well for ourselves and with others. So let me just offer you just two applications. First one is just to lament well. I encourage you, when you're able, sometimes you just have to stuff your pain to get through the day. But when you are in your quiet time with God, just pour out to Him. Lament to Him. Cry out. Give your emotions to Him, knowing that He hears you with compassion, that He loves you so much, and He is with you, strengthening you, giving you that courage to endure. And if you have to get professional help in your pain, don't feel embarrassed or ashamed. God loves you. He is with you, and He is providing for you a way of healing. Okay? And also, I encourage you to lament with others. Mourn with others. Don't try to force them to be happy. Just lament with them. Understand where they're coming from, and look on them with compassion, and encourage them to lament, to turn to God, to cry to God, and to trust in God. During hard times, God wants our honest cries. Second point is, lament actually increases our trust in God. The final part of lament is to a trust and a praise of God. And we see this finally in verse 22 to 33. And these are one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And they have a different meaning in the context of lament, don't they? I don't know where the writer, he praises God. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. The compassions never fail. The writer says and believes that God is with us. He loves us. He's compassionate with us. He is grieved when harm comes to us. He doesn't want bad things to come to us. Timothy says that God wants all to come to the saving knowledge of Him and no one to perish. And the writer, he says these things, great is thy faithfulness, not out of a place of strength. Oh yeah, God is great. His compassion is good. We can rise above it. But of weakness. If you look at verse 29, it says here, let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. The picture here is of someone who's been conquered, a loser lying down in a prostrate or the fetal position, their face in the dirt, and the conqueror having their foot on the back of this loser. And this is the image, the posture that the psalmist has. And faith is not suppressing your emotions, trying to be strong before God, but it is trusting God enough to share your honest emotions with Him in weakness, in humility. Because when we try to deal with our emotions ourselves, through our own mental fortitude, through our own inner strength, we're actually trusting ourselves to heal our broken hearts rather than trusting in God, the provider. My friend is studying to be a counselor right now, and he says that Christians are sometimes the hardest people to counsel because they don't want to remember or dwell in their pain. They want to avoid it. They want to transcend it. And they quote things like Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And there is a time to rejoice. I love that verse. But the joy, the rejoicing that God is talking about in the Bible is not in the avoidance or downplaying of suffering, but in the very midst of suffering. James 1, verse 2 to 4 says, consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, not when you've avoided suffering, not after you've gone through suffering, but when you face trials of many kinds, because you know it produces perseverance, patience, and endurance. And our joy, the joy of the Lord, doesn't come from ourselves. How many times we can recite Philippians 4:4, but it comes from God and in suffering. And when we lament, we are reminded that we are weak. We are not able to endure ourselves, but God, whom we turn to, is strong. He is able. He looks on us with compassion, and only He is able to deliver us and heal us. And therefore, as the Lamentations writer says, all we can do is wait for Him in our weakness, in our pain, trusting that we are not consumed, trusting that He will give us the courage to endure. And in this place of weakness, the writer also proclaims in verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. Now this word portion refers to the Levites. If you know the history of Israel, Israel was breaking up into 12-ish tribes, and they're all given a portion of land. And land was everything. It was their financial security, their identity, and also a tangible reminder of God's faithfulness and promises for themselves and their future generations. And the Levite tribe, they didn't get any land. They were kind of the pastor of the day. They were meant to kind of scatter across Israel, ministering to people. And they didn't need any land because God told them, I will be your portion. I will be your financial security, your identity, and your future. Just trust in me. And now, in the time of Lamentations, Babylon had come and taken away everybody's land. They had nothing left. And the writer is reminded, the Lord is my portion. He is all that I need. And have you noticed that during hard times, when we seemingly lose everything, we are reminded that God is enough. God is our portion. He is all we need. He is the only one worth trusting, for He is the source of our security, our identity, our future, not ourselves, not our health, not science or technology, and not the economy. The Lord is our portion. And lament, honest crying and weakness, reminds us of this and increases our trust in God. That's why James says that we should consider it joy when we face suffering, because it causes us to trust in God more, to face, put our focus on Him, God our portion, and increases our endurance and our patience. Because during hard times, God wants our honest cries. And in lament, we increase our trust of God. Let me just end with this. This section of praise in Lamentations 3 is right in the middle of the book of Lamentations. And after this section, it's unfortunately back to brutal, honest lament. And this book of Lamentations ends in chapter 5, verse 21, with these sad words, "Turn thou to us, O Lord, and we will be renewed. Renew our days as of old, unless that you have utterly rejected us. And you are angry with us." Not a happy ending. And I think that's the point. Not all of us will experience a happy ending. And that's why we need God's courage and strength to endure. And while we, and especially the West, influenced by Disney, love happy endings, in Hebrew culture, the ending wasn't actually the most important part. Usually the middle of the story is. And Lamentations are actually five poems, which are based on something in Hebrew literature called the chiasm structure. And it's kind of like a burger. Lamentations 1 and 5 are kind of like the bread. 2 and 3 are kind of like the fixings, maybe the lettuce, the cheese. And chapter 3 is the middle. It's the burger. And if you're a vegetarian, maybe the portobello mushroom. And this is the most important part of this lamentation, the hope of God. And I believe also it's kind of this, it's telling us that in the middle of our suffering, God is there with us, giving us the strength and courage to endure. And I believe this is actually a picture of Jesus. Jesus didn't come to save us by taking away our suffering, but He came in the middle of our suffering. In Jesus, God the creator of the universe became a human and he entered our pain. He has felt hopelessness, despair, anger, feeling abandoned, and he even experienced death on a cross. And on the cross, he lamented to God, quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not because he lacked faith, but he believed that God was with him, that God the Father was looking on him with compassion, and the Father would deliver him. And for Jesus, the Father was his portion. He completely followed the will of God. And through suffering, through the cross, he has brought salvation to all creation. And through Jesus, we now have a happy ending. Jesus is coming back to bring all things new. And in the meantime, today we can lament with hope because God is with us in Jesus. In Jesus, God understands our pain. He is with us. He will not condemn us, but he looks on us with compassion and love. He suffers with us. He weeps with us, and he helps us trust in him, not ourselves, for our healing, for our salvation, for the courage to endure during hard times. And during hard times, God wants our honest cries. And as we lament, we are able to grieve well for ourselves, with others. And as we lament, we will increase our trust in God and the courage to endure. As we lament, the word of Lamentations comes more alive to us. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. The Lord is our portion. Therefore, we will wait for him. Lament reminds us of these things and increases our hope in our Lord, Jesus, who is coming again. Let us pray. Lord, you are our portion. You are our hope. Thank you that you understand what we're going through. And in our pain and suffering, you are there with us, strengthening us by your Holy Spirit. So Lord, give us the strength to endure. Give us the space and the courage to be honest with you. And may this increase more and more the knowledge of your great compassion and love for us. Help us to see you, Lord, at work in our midst. Help us in our weakness. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, through and by the Holy Spirit. Amen.